Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now in Masachet Bava Metzia, Daf Samach Chet, Amud Aleph. About to look at the fourth Mishnah of this, the fifth parak, dealing with issues of Neshech, of interest. Ein Moshevin Chenvani L'Machatzit Sachar. Here we're dealing with a particular problem of investment. When a person gives money to, let's say, a storekeeper and invests with him, and the chenvani then has to buy things and they will split the profits. The problem is that when the chenvani gives back the half of the profits, it looks like ribit. All right, so therefore you're not allowed to do it that way. There's another way around it. V'lo yiten ma'ot likach ben perot l'machzit sachar. You also cannot give him money to buy perot. Again split the profits. Elim kenotem los charo kepoel, unless you actually pay him like a worker. We'll see what that means. Ein moshevin tani golin lemechza. Here's another deal, which is a person gives chickens to somebody else to let's say sit on their eggs, and then they're going to split the profits. Ein shamin agolinu sechin lemechza, or to give young animals for someone to raise. Again, for splitting the profits, elim ken noten lo schar armalo umezano, unless you pay the fellow for his work and for the food that he gives him, in which case he's simply working for you and you're sharing the profits. The problem in all these cases is that the worker is not receiving anything until it's time for the profits, and then when he pays you back, the entire thing looks like a loan, which he's paying you back interest on. You're allowed to raise them and with a profit sharing of half, and raise them until they're big, and our donkey until it's old enough and big enough to be carrying a load. All right, and this is now not the difference here is that you're not accepting them with a shuma, with an assessment, appraisal of their value, and then going from there. But you accept that you're simply getting them as young ones, and you're going to raise them. Of course, that means if the animal dies or gets sick or something like that, the worker will not pay anything, and therefore it doesn't work as a loan. Okay, Tana, Kepoel Batel. Said you have to pay the guy. Pay him how much? So we say Kepoel Batel, like a worker who's not working, making up for his work. My Kepoel Batel, what does that mean? So we're familiar with that notion in Bava Kama and Perkachovel, but here it's different. Amar Bai Kefuel Batel Shetlo Tamalachad Batel Mina. Whatever he was normally doing, he's not doing, so you have to pay him as if he's somebody who was doing that job. Utsricha. If that's the case, then we understand why we need both the Chenvani and the Ma'ot. Why? Because the Chenvani, you're simply giving him fruit and he's selling it. Titana Chenvani Udasagile Kefuel Batel. I would think in his case it's enough to pay him Kepoel Batel. Why? He's not doing a lot. But if you give him money and then he has to go buy fruit, the Nafish Tircha is a lot of work to do. Maybe that Poel Batel payment is not enough to make it clear that he's working for you, and therefore you might have to pay him more. There's now a flip. If we only learned the case about the money, we'd say, sure, there he's working. So therefore, you have to pay him Kepoel Batel. He's got a lot of work to do. But a chenvani who doesn't have to do a lot of work, you just give it to him and then he sells them. I would think that it's enough to give him the smallest amount. Even if you just shared some dip with him, you shared even one fig with him, we'll see where that phrase comes from. I might think that that's enough. Tzricha. Now we'll see that our Mishnah follows an opinion. It's not like that, but there is such an opinion that that's enough for anybody. Tana Rabbana. There we go. Kama hu scharo. And here we go. How much do you have to pay him? Bein merubeh vein muati v'ramer. Mayor says, whether you pay him a lot or whether a little, whatever you guys agree on as a payment, that's good. And the fellow may be agreeable to take a small amount because, you know, he's got a profit coming down the pipe, and that will solve the rebeat problem. Here's the opinion that we heard earlier. Even if you only dip together, you ate one fig together, and it's the smallest amount, symbolic payment is enough. No, you have to give him a full payment. You can't even agree to take less. To avoid the problem of rebeat, you have to give him a full salary. Tana Rabbanan. We're not allowed to appraise goats and sheep or anything else that doesn't produce but yet eats, and to do it for this half and half profit sharing bit. You're allowed to do goats because they are milked. And lambs, we shear their wool falls off in the water, it comes off in other ways, and therefore we have wool from them. And chicken, certainly, because the chicken itself produces. Now, but Tanakama, what's Tanakama's position? What the shearing of the wool of the sheep or the milking of the goats isn't enough to pay for the guy's work and the food that he feeds them? It certainly is. Otherwise, why would people ever get goats if they don't pay? So the answer is, the truth is, you're right. Tanakama and Rabbi Yosef Yehuda agree that if the worker gets to keep the milk and the shearings, if it's goats or sheep, respectively, then they're all in agreement, that's fine. Kipligi, where do they disagree? But asyuve betutari, if they only get like a little bit of cream or a little bit of shearings, like extra ones. Tanakama sava like Rav Shimon Yochai, and it simply lays as follows. Tanakama holds like Rav Shimon, who's damar ten los chomish shalem, that you said you have to pay a full payment to the worker. Yosef Yehuda sava like kavua, and he holds like his father, damar filo tavalo and betzir, v'chal melech gogad achad, zeh oscharo, that even a minimal payment is enough. So therefore, these little shearings and a little bit of cream from the milk is enough. Tana Rabbanan. We're going to come back to those opinions. Maskeret isha l'chavertah t'negolet b'shnei afrochin. A woman could rent out her chicken to another woman for a price of, let's say, two chicks a year, or whatever the amount is. Esha shamra l'chavertah t'negolet shalu b'etzim shalechi ve'anu va'at nichlok l'chok b'afrochin v'inu ma'atur b'shimon oser. But if a woman says, look, I've got a chicken, I'm going to give it to you, you're going to hold on to it, the eggs that it bears will be yours, and we'll split the chicks. Rabbi Yehuda says, Mutar, Shimon says, Asur. And again, same issue. Rabbi Yehuda, Levoi, Schar, Malom, Zeno. Doesn't Rabbi Yehuda demand that you at least pay them for their work? The answer is you do. Ika Beitzim, Muzarot. There are unfertilized eggs, and that's what the woman gets. And again, Rabbi Yehuda says, a minimal payment's enough. And Rabbi Shimon says, you need a full payment. Anywhere where the custom is to for the investor to pay for the guy who's schlepping the animal to the worker, ma'alim, then you have to pay such a payment. We always keep the minhag medina. Let's say you have a little baby that's going, and the mother's also going to go. Then you assess it as is. Even a place where they normally pay, here you don't pay because it's going to go with the mother. You don't have to schlep it at all. Which means, don't you have to pay the worker? After all, we said that you certainly have to pay for the fellow's working to cover his work and the food that he feeds. The answer is, the worker gets to keep the dung. The other opinion is that dung is meaningless because they're mafkrit. Okay, now Rachman says something very strange here. Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, which is minimal payments enough. Halacha Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, who said that the milking and the minimum milking and minimum shearing is enough. Halacha Rabbi Gamliel that says the dung is enough. Which, by the way, all seem to say the same thing. Bnei Rav Eli, now here's a story that we're going to come back to this opinion. So Rav Elish was a great rabbi. He died. His sons inherited a shtar that said that their father had an investment with somebody that said half profit, half loss, which means if this thing goes up, we split the profits. If it can go down, we split the loss. This is exactly our problem of Machzit Zachar. Rav Elish was a big man. He certainly would not have fed somebody Isurim, because he would not have provided a rebate this way. So he said, therefore, there must have been a mistake in the shtar. If he's really saying, we'll split the proceeds, the profits, then Trey Tiltav have said, it must be that Rav Elish said, I will take two-thirds of the loss. Or if he said, I'll take two-thirds of the loss, half of the loss, then it must be that he said, Trey Tiltabagar, that you, the worker, will get two-thirds of the profit, so that it's not an even match, and so that the worker has a greater piece of the gain here. So I'm Rav Kana. Rav Kana said, I reported this fix that Rava suggested to Rav Zvid. Amar Lee, he said, Dilma Rav Elish, Tov Eli Bo Metzir Habe. And he said, maybe not. Maybe the shtar is exactly right, and it's 50-50. And Rav Elish maybe had paid the worker how much? The minimal amount. They had lunch together, and Rav Elish footed the bill. He gave the lunch. Rav Nachman, like Rav Yehuda. Rav Nachman, after all, said, we rule like Rav Yehuda. So Amar Leh, Lav Hilchata Itmar. So Rav Kahana said back to Rav Zvid, in our version of that statement of Rav Nachman, it doesn't say halach Rabbi Yehuda, ela shita itmar. What you read is Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Nachman said Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, also Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel are b'shita achat, meaning they all agree on an essential thing. It doesn't mean we rule that way. Hachana Mistabran, by the way, in our analysis, that seems to be the proper read of Rav Nachman's statement, dilote mahachi, if you don't agree, then lama le'e mechshol lememra halacha halacha. Why would he say halacha Rabbi Yehuda? Halacha b'shim Yehuda, halacha b'shim Gamliel, why say that? Let him just say halacha Rabbi Yehuda to make al kibikulu that he has the most lenient opinion and includes all the others. Okay, next piece. Amarav motar shlish bischarcha hareze mutar. Meaning, if instead of paying the guy, the worker, a salary, you say to him anything above a third, and this thing gains 50%. Anything above that is your bonus, your commission, your bonus, then I raise a mutar. That's good enough. Ushmol amar lo matzah mutar shlish elech v'torekan. All right, if he doesn't get a third, he's going to get nothing. In other words, if it doesn't go up that much, he's going to get nothing, in which case we got the rebate problem again. Amar Shmuel kotzeitz lo dinar. Shmuel says you have to set aside an exact payment in advance and say, this is your salary. V'savar rabbi ain't kotzeitz lo dinar. Rav says you don't have to do that. V'amar Rav, resh egla fatoma. Right? Rav gave animals to people to raise and said, you get the head of the animal, which means it sounds like he's saying, I'm giving you a set payment in advance, regardless of whether it appreciates. My love, don't rely motar shlish bischachar. We're talking about a case where he said, motar shlish, in other words, that's the resh egla. In other words, if it goes up that much, then you're going to get the resh egla. Lo, the kamarle, e motar shlish, e resh egla fatoma. He's giving him the choice. You could take the head, which is a surefire deal, but not worth as much. Or you could take anything above a third, will be all be yours, but that's a spec. The other possibility is that when Rav said originally, you don't have to be kotzeitz dinar, he said, that's talking about a case where the worker has his own animals. If you're mixing food for one animal, you can fix it for more, which means his work is negligible. The added work is negligible. There's not that much in food. So therefore, that would be considered a sufficient payment, in which case he and Shmuel don't really disagree. There is a story. Rabbi Elazar Mehegronia Zavin Behema. He bought an animal. He gave it to his sharecropper, to his worker, and said, you fatten it up. And we had this kind of a deal. And instead of making the kind of deal that's prohibited with a half a profit, he said, I'm going to give you the head of the animal after we fatten it up and we kill it. The head of the animal is yours. That's your payment. And half the profit. So to get around the problem of rebate, he gave him the head. Amrale Devitu, so the wife of the worker said to the worker, if you would be a partner with our boss, with Rabbi Elazar, then you'd also get the tail. Must have been a sheep. Azal Zavin Bahadei. So the next animal that came along, the worker said, I'm going to be your partner, and he invested, and they bought it together. Poliglay Me'alita, and indeed, he got half the tail. Amarle Tonya Flagelaration. Then Rabbi Elazar said to him, let's split the head. Amarle Hashta Kimikar Namilo, what I don't get what I used to get, which was the whole head. Amarle Ad Haid Nazuzi Didi Havu. Until now, I was investing. In the last deal, I was investing. If I don't give you something extra, like the whole head, merci karibit, it looks like ribit. That's exactly our solution here. Hasha shufian, but now we're regular partners, and so we split everything. My kamar tarachna tfei porta? You're telling me that you worked harder than I, therefore you should get the whole head? Amri inshi, look what people say. Stam arisa lamari ara de kamashtabi nafshe. Latuya leraya. The default is that a sharecropper is mishuba to the master of the land, right? Literally here to bring him grazing. In other words, it's his job to bring it. So therefore, of course, you worked harder than I am. Let's think about our positions here. Tana Rabbanan Hasham behimala chavero. So now, if we do an appraisal and I give you the animal and the animal's worth this and you're going to raise it. How long do you have to hold on to it, to work with it? At what point can you come back to me and say, okay, here's your animal, and that's split? Sumchus maratonot shemasar chodesh begodrot esrim barba chodesh. So Sumchus says that with donkeys it's 18 months and with sheep it's 24 months. V'malachlok b'tochus manoch chaver lakir b'lav. If the worker wants to come halfway through and say, or in the middle, and say, okay, I'm giving it up at early and let's split the profits, the owner can say no. We'll see why. Literally means his but. The work of 1 year is not like the work of another year. Val, my camera, what do you mean, but? Ella lefiyish ain't a domet tipulash shanah zul tipulash shanah cheret. The proper gear says the reason that he can't cut out in the middle is because the work of 1 year is not like the work of another year, meaning that in the first year, the profits are great and the work is less, the food is less, and that changes in the second year. And so if the worker cuts out halfway through, he's taking more profit and doing less work, and that's the reason he can't cut out in the middle of the 24-18. Now this is a related thing. What happens if you take the animal and the animal gives birth? How long do you have to take care of the vladot? So if it's sheep, ovines basically, 30 days. Bovines, 50 days. He says, no, the ovines, sheep, and goats, you have to take care of for 3 months. Why? There's a lot of work to do. My tipulam rubeh, what does that mean? It has very thin teeth, so you have to mash up the food so it can eat it and digest it. After that point, remember, you took in animals, and half the profits of those animals were yours. And now the animals gave birth. So half of the animals that gave birth are yours. So you could take your half and sell them or whatever you do. And then the other animals are half yours. Because that's the part that's the profit sharing. So therefore you could take half of that half. Right. Now, we're going to see a related story. And this is now all spinning off into non-ribbit issues. He did exactly that. He had these animals and they gave birth and he took the half that was his and then he also took the half from the other animals, half of those. So Atal Kamei Dabai, he was brought before by Marley Man Palagla, who agreed to split with you? Did you sit with the guy and split the animals fairly? And by the way, in our region, it's an area where the minig is to raise the animal to a bigger age. So you can't back off and you have to follow the minhag. Hanutre Kutoi. So there were two men from Kuta. They were Jews, but from Kuta, which you read about in Malachim Bet Yud Zayin. And they were in Bavel. The Avud Iska Bahadi. They made an Iska, meaning one of these profit-sharing pieces. Azil Chad Minau Palag Zuzi Beladata De Chavrei. And they had coins invested. And one of them went and took his half of the coins without checking with the other guy. Atul Kamer Papa. So the fellow who had been divided against schlepped the fellow who took his money in front of our papa, Amalei Mainaf Kamina, and he said to the complainant, the plaintiff here, what do you care? Hachem Rav Nachman, Zuzi Kamada Pligi Damu, coins are already separated. He took his half of the coins, so what? L'shana Zavun Chamradi Adadi. So the next year they went into partnership again, kind of strange, and they bought wine together. Kam Idach, and now the complainant went, Poligle Belodata de Chavrei. He took his half of the wine without checking with the other guy. Now they switched sides. Atul Kamer Rav Papa, so the new complainant brought the old complainant to Rav Papa, Amar Leman Palaglach, and Rav Papa turned to the fellow and said, who split the wine with you? So he said, oh, you're picking on me. Meaning, last year you sided in favor of my friend, now you side in favor of him again against me, and you're being inconsistent. So Amar Papa, Rav Papa said, no, I'm not. After all, the two different cases. When it comes to wine, you certainly have to inform the guy and sit down together and divide it properly. But when it came to the money last year, what, did he take the good ones and leave the bad ones? The coins are coins. He didn't do that. So everybody knows that there's good wine and bad wine. But with coins, it's all coins, unless we know there to be deficient coins. So the coins, he was allowed to split it without checking with you and without sitting with you. But when it comes to the wine, though, you really do have to sit with him and divide it together. Gufam Rav Nachman Zuzi Kaman to Pligi Damu. We said that money, it's as if it's already split, and therefore one partner can take his part without checking with the other. And again, we're off of the Ribbit issue temporarily. That's only if all the money is either good coins or poor coins, and they're all the same kind of coins. In which case, or they've been weighed against each other, so they're all pretty much the same weight. Avaltavi utkuli, but if you have weighed ones with unweighed ones, or good ones against the ones that have been weighed, then you can't do that, because then they're really not all the same. And then it's kind of like wine. Avchama havi mogar zuzi v'pshit v'yom. It's a wild story. Avchama used to rent out money. He used to charge a coin a day. And we'll see what his thinking was, but he's clearly trying to get around rebeat. Kalu zuzi d'avchama. He went, lost all his money. Hus, and it was a punishment. Hus avar ma'ishtami mara. And his thinking, or his rationalization was, why is it any different than a tool? I rent out a tool, I get money. I rent out money, I get money. The answer is velohi. I mean, that's exactly what rebeat is. Mara hadra ba'edam. And here's the logic underneath it. A rake, for instance, comes back as is. V'yadia p'chatin. You could see if how much it's been lost, how deficient it's become as a result of the work. Zuzi lo hadra ba'enayu. But money doesn't come back as is. Other coins come back. V'lo yadia p'chatin. It was the whole idea of milva lo tzon is what changes everything. Parenthetically, that would mean that if somebody wanted to rent some special coins from you to show off at a coin show, at a coin convention, or to have in his house when some guests came, you could do that. You could rent them out. He's not using the coins as money. He's using the coins as jewelry or as a showpiece. But if somebody is borrowing money from you, that's not renting money. That's borrowing money. And okay, I'm a rabbi. Sharei the inish the member of the chavre. A person's allowed to say helach arba zuzi ve'ozfe leplonya zuzi. So Abel is allowed to take some money and give it to Baker and say, here, go lend money, not this money, go lend money to Charlie. Right? So one guy is giving money to a second guy that to convince him to lend money to a third guy. The only prohibition is when the borrower pays the lender, not an outside guy. The Amarava, Sharlili Nishla Memorle the Chavre, Shkilach Abazuzi, the Amorle the Pony, those Fanzuzi. The other thing is that Charlie can give Abel money and say, Abel, here's some money. Please go to Baker and convince him to lend me money. Why, Thomas? Scharamira Kochakil. Abel is simply taking Scharamira, money given for him to go and persuade Baker to lend money. Baker's not getting any rebate here. Right? Kihad da Ava Marbredu of Papa. Now, by the way, notice that we've gotten two ends of the case. In one end of the first case, the lender has received more money than he lends. In the second case, the borrower has paid out more money than he has borrowed. However, neither case is a problem because the only issue is the borrower giving to the lender. And it's somewhat similar to the Sugya and Kiddushin of Zion, where Kiddushin working Midin Arev and Midin Eved Kanani, where the money doesn't go directly from the guy to the girl. Goes from a guy to another person, from the girl to another person, and of course in that case it does work. In this case there is no isur, so it's different. Okay, kihad de ava marbere de papa have shakil ugna de kira mikiroi. So there's a story that Rav Papa's son would take some like the lip of the wax thing from the wax guy. He'd buy it. V'amarle lavua, he'd give it to him. And he would then go tell his father, Usfinu Zuzi, go lend money to that wax guy. Alright, Amarle Rabbanan Papa. So the student said to her papa, Achum Bray, Demar Rebita. Your son is taking Rebit. Amarle Hu Kokia Rebita Necho. You could eat as much Rebit as that if you call that Rebit. Also tell Rebit Habami, Lovelamalva. What's happening is the wax guy is giving my son some money to convince me to lend him money. That's certainly fine. So you could have as much rebate of that as you want, because not really rebate. The only rebate that's asur is if the wax guy were to give me directly money for me to lend him money, then we would have a problem of rebate. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up with the next Mishnah and the Afsamach Tanam Bet in the next podcast. In the meantime, you should have a wonderful day.